Shalom to all. Today's office is Shalom Shabbos Daf Mem Dalad. We are starting about the second line with a quote from the Mishnah of Loi B'Yachid and Vilnsur's Daf. It's on Lamed Hamud Bey. It's about halfway through. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Merim Sar Bas B'Yakam Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And the Mishnah of Loi B'Yachid, a person can't walk out with one shoe on Shabbos. And Rabbi explains Mnei Chashad because suspicion Shlo Yom that people don't say Ish Pliny Nifsak Sandaloi. This guy's other sandal broke Utloi Beshechiyav and he has it in his armpit and he's carrying it. We don't want people to suspect him of carrying on Shabbos. Therefore, he can't walk out with one shoe. However, this was only said the Mishnah was if he doesn't have a wound on his foot. The Gemara explains, but if he does have a wound on his foot, then he could put just one shoe on, because it's apparent that the reason why he's only wearing one shoe is due to the fact that he has a makkah, he has a wound on his foot. Now the question is, when he has a wound on his foot, which foot gets the shoe, the one with or without the makkah? So Shmuel says, he puts a shoe on the foot that doesn't have the wound. It's like when a person has a cast on their foot, so one foot gets a shoe, the other one has a cast on it. Because if you're going to say that he puts the shoe on the foot that has the wound, what's preventing him from putting the shoe on the other foot? If he managed to get the shoe onto the foot that has the makkah, why not put the other shoe on the other foot that doesn't have a makkah? So it must be that when he's walking out with one shoe and one foot has a makkah, that he's putting the shoe on the foot that does not have the makkah. However, Yechonamer, he says, he actually puts the shoe on the foot that does have the makkah, and that's to protect the makkah from getting even more injured. Now, an interesting source for this, Shem Barba, Havim Shamash Kumi Rabbi Yechanan, Shem Barba was serving Rabbi Yechanan, Vav Moshele Sandalay, and he was giving him his shoes, and he gave him his right shoe first, Kadatani, based off what this taught in Brysa, Bederach Haaretz, this is the proper way to do things, Kshunel, when a person puts on their shoes, Noshel Yemin, first he puts on the right shoe, because the Yemin, the right side, is more Chashav, Vachach Noshel Smol, then he puts on the left shoe, and Uchchaz, when he takes his shoes off, Chazal Smol, first he takes off his left shoe, Vachach Chazal Yemin, then he takes off the right shoe, so that he delays taking off the right shoe as long as possible, again, because Yemin is more Chashav. Now, Armel Rabbi Yechanan, Rechon told him, Bavlaya, Babylonian, that's where he'd originally come from. Lois Avid Kane, don't do this. Shari Shainim, the earlier ones, Loi Hayuas and Kane, they didn't do this. El Rag Shunel, when a person puts on the shoe, Nashal Smol, first they put on the left shoe, Va'achach Nashal Yemin, then the right shoe, Shalite Nashal Yemin Paguma, so that it shouldn't seem like there's something wrong with the right foot. If they put on the right shoe first, then it would seem like they have a wound on that foot, and that's why they're putting the right shoe on first and not the left. Therefore, it's better to put on the left foot. Now, after Bechon told him this, Shem Rabbah responded, Hada Amr, this seems to tell us that El Isa Shiesh Bamaku Naisain, then when a person's going out with one shoe on Shabbos, he puts it on the foot that has the makkah. So Amalei, Rabbi Yechanan responded to him, in Bavlaya to come to LA, you Babylonian, you've stood up to this, meaning you recognize and realize the truth of the matter. Now the Gemara points out an interesting nafkamina, Yotzin betfilin Erev Shabbos v'chashecha, Erev Shabbos, right before it gets dark, a person could still walk out with his tefillin, ve'en yotz misandum summer Erev Shabbos v'chashecha, but Erev Shabbos before it gets dark, he cannot walk out with a hobnailed sandal. Amah ben Zalazeh, what's the difference between this one and that one? Because Zed, darko lachlaitz, tefillin, he's going to take off anyway. Anyway, Lilo loves man tefillin, we don't wear tefillin at night, and therefore we're not afraid he's going to continue walking with his tefillin on Shabbos because he's used to taking them off before the nighttime anyway. Vizet ain't that galachlitz, but shoes are not something that he takes off when it becomes night, and therefore afraid he's still going to be walking around with them on Shabbos. And we already learned previously that one may not go out with his sandal in the summer on Shabbos. Now, continuing to explain, we had said in the Mishnah that the person cannot go out with a kameya that's not mumchet. This amulet's not from an expert, but if it's from an expert, he could go out with it. So we ask, ezu kameya mumche? How do we know that this kameya is an expert one that he could go out with? And the answer is, if this kameya healed somebody once, twice, and even a third time, it was used to heal successfully, so that's considered a kameya mumche. Now Ravo says, "Shem Yechanan." Now when Rafa Loimar, a doctor is believed to say, "Kameya zeh mumche rafisi boy v'shanisi v'shilashti." This kameya is an expert one. I healed with it once, twice, and thrice. Now Rav Shmuel says, "Shem Rizera, ripal adam echad, namal adam echad." If this kameya only healed one person three times, so then it's only good for that person, because who's to say it's going to work for somebody else? L'shnayim namal l'shnayim. If it healed two people, it's only good for those two people, because again, who says it's going to heal anybody else? However, l'shloisha nema l'chal adam. If this same kameya healed three people, so then we can trust it for everyone, because once it took care of three people, we know that everyone could use it. Another din, yotzim kameya mumche, ben b'ksav, ben b'asavim. A person could go out with this expert kameya, whether the kameya, the amulet, is some words that are written on a piece of paper, or if it's just certain types of herbs, it's all the same thing. Ubovachleit nenu loy b'shir v'loy b'tabas, as long as it's not put in a bracelet or in a ring, that's because if he connects it to one of these things, it's going to look like they're using the kameya as an excuse to wear a tachshit. And we know that a person can't wear a tachshit on Shabbos out to their shus rabim because they might end up taking it off and carrying a dalet amis. And so again, if the kameya is connected to the tachshit, it's just going to look like he's doing it for the tachshit and not for the kameya. Now, bon kum Rabbi Yonason, that's for Rabbi Yonason, ma'u mitnise bahin siluna, what about putting it in a reed, which is basically an empty tube? Is that an okay way to go out with a kameya on Shabbos? And Armelay told him, uvachle nanu loy b'shir v'loy b'tabas. The Brisa says, as long as he doesn't put it in a bracelet or in a ring, and this is not a bracelet or ring, so he could go out with it. Now we have another question that was asked for Rabbi Yonasan, even though it doesn't have to do with the kameya. Bon kumi Rabbi Yonasan, they asked for Rabbi Yonasan, ma'u mepek ba'hu mumaika, is a person allowed to go out with a mumaika, which is some sort of ornament worn around the neck, but it was connected to the clothing. So Amrulayn, he told them, mishum tachshit, it's also because of tachshit. Ask Mara, I mishum tachshit hulai, if you want to say it's a tachshit for a person, and that's why he can't go out with it, well, with Daniel Lesar, it should be also for Daniel. Now before I explain what this has to do with Daniel, this is not a Shabbos related thing that we can't go out with a tachshit on Shabbos. It has to do with the takana that was made after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the one can't wear a tachshit out of mourning because of the Churban, and that means that this should apply to Daniel as well. Now we explain, what does Daniel have to do with anything? The Pasuk tells us that after Daniel interpreted the writing on the wall for Belshazzar, Belshazzar honored him by putting beautiful clothing on him, and also Vahamanicha di Dahava al Tzavare, he placed this golden thing around his neck. But if it was a tachshit, he shouldn't have been allowed to. And Mishum Masui b'Shabbos, if you want to say that the reason why he can't go out is because it's a Masui, it's like a load, well, Nema kol mechor b'luksus or kiksus. Why not say that anything connected to garment is like the garment itself, and so it shouldn't be a problem? And we end up with this question. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yisrael Rabbon says, B'Shem Rabbi Yisi, Makash and Esrapes, if a wound got healed, nice and alaratia, he could still put a bandage on it and go out like that on Shabbos, and there's no issue of refuah on Shabbos. We know a person's not allowed to do things because of refuah, but this is not called refuah. Why is that? She'ena elkim shamra. It's just guarding it to make sure it doesn't reopen. The bandage isn't healing the wound is already healed. It's just protecting it so it doesn't get opened, and therefore there's no problem. Another din, Memdal Ron Bez on top, Rav Avon says, Rishain Rabban Taman, nice in ale al gabe maka b'Shabbos, that's a proper girsa. A person could put a leaf on top of a maka on Shabbos, she'ena elkim shamra, because that also just protecting it so it doesn't open up. However, Amar Tanchum, Rav Tanchum tells us, Chutz me al gifanim, she'en l'refuah. He cannot use a leaf from a grapevine because that causes refuah, that helps heal the wound, and therefore he can't use such a thing. Now, once we're talking about herbs or other things that grow from the ground that could heal, we move on to discuss a similar topic, just not regarding Shabbos. Amar Rav Chani tells us, Hada pua, this pua, which is some sort of herb that grows, Akar tav, its root is very good, Sagin tavu, using a lot of it is good, Kade isbe chamisha ketrin, Shiva ketrin, Tisha ketrin, Tavasagin, if one places 5 knots, 7 knots, or 9 knots, which is basically 5, 7, or 9 pieces of this herb, that's very good. The more the better. Ubal chudl yitain mai, as long as he doesn't put water on it. And this way his wound is going to heal. Now more about healing. Ein karen pasuk agabe maka b'shem. That's a proper girsa. No reading a pasuk over a maka using Hashem's name. That's called using psukim to heal, and one may not do this. V'adein dekari al yavrucha aser. Also, if a person says a pasuk about yavrucha, that's aser. Yavrucha is translated as dudaim. We know that Reuven found dudaim in the field to give to his mother Leah, and they had some sort of good luck properties to them. However, there was some sort of superstition, or there was somewhat dangerous to pull out of the ground. So if a person is going to say a pasuk to prevent himself from getting harmed when pulling these dudaim out of the ground, that's aser. Furthermore, if a guy tells his friend, "Bai v'karyas ha-pasuk ha-zeh al-bani shuhum izbas," come and say this pasuk over my son. He has this fright. He has some sort of illness that he gets scared at nighttime. So say a pasuk over him to heal him, or tan olav sefer, put a sefer Torah on him, tan olav tefillin, put tefillin on him, v'shvil shishon, so that he should sleep better. Aser, that's aser. Asking where, how could this be? V'atani, we have a brass that tells us, "Oimrim hayu shir piguin b'Yerushalayim." They used to say this song of piguin, which is basically a song to get rid of demons in Yerushalayim. And as we're going to see in a moment, this song was psukim. So we see that saying psukim to prevent something bad from happening is not a problem. Amar Yudon, so he answers, "Kan mishenifka." The earlier, remember, we just said no using sefer Torah, tefillin, or saying psukim is after the person already got the illness, they already got harmed, and you want to try to heal them from it. That's a problem to use psukim. But kana chaloy nifka, this shir pagun that we just mentioned is to prevent a person from getting harmed. That's not a problem. And vezu shir pagun, what is a shir pagun? So it's from the third parak of Tehillim, Hashem ma rabu tzari v'chal mizmar, and the entire mizmar, and also parak tzadi alpha of Tehillim, Yeshiv zeser elyoin, add all the way up until the pasuk of kiato Hashem machzi elyoin snapte menecha. And to lacha gimel, continuing to discuss what a person is or is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos, the Mishnah says, loy seitz eisha machat nekuva, a woman is not allowed to go out with a needle that has a hole in it. 2 Mishnahs ago, we spoke about a needle that does not have a hole in it. Now we're talking about a needle that has a hole in it. It could be used for sewing. And also, she's not allowed to go out with a signet ring. Tabas is a ring, and chaysam is a signet. It's used for stamping and sealing documents. She can't go out with a brooch. It's not meant to actually fasten her clothing together. It's an ornament on top of her clothing, and it's just really to show how wealthy she is, so it's unnecessary. Now with a spice packet, this is basically deodorant of sorts. And now with a flask of aromatic oil, this is used as a perfume. And if she did go out with one of these things, she's chayvachatos. That's what Meir says. That's because none of these things are tachshitim. They're actually considered a masui, a load, and so she's chay for carrying them out on Shabbos. However, chom patin b'kachelos b'tzoichas shapayotin, the chom pater with these two things. And then what I told us, we have a brisa from earlier on in the Masechta. Lo yitzeh echad machta shabkelov. A tailor can't go out with the needle pinned to his clothing. Lo yilaver kol shaba aznai, and the scribe can't go out with the pen or the quill that's in his ear, or the painter can't go out with the paint swatch of different sample colors that's hanging from his ear, and not the money changer with a coin in his ear. If they did go out with this on Shabbos, if this guy's an uman, he's a craftsman, and he went out with this thing that's displaying what his craft is, then he's chayiv. However, all other people, if they're not an uman, they're allowed to go out with this thing. And now the Gemara asks this question, it seems we have a steer in the Shita Rameir. The Tanin Taman, over there we learned this is really referring to over here. Rav Meir says in our Mishnah that if a woman goes out with these things, she's chayiv a chatas. Over here he says this. If Rav Meir over here says that this woman goes out with a needle, she's chayiv, how could it be that Rav Meir over here says that she's chayiv when she goes out with a needle, but over there he says that if the chayit goes out with his needle, he's pater. It seems to be a stira. So Ramana Amala Stam, Ramana answered this Stam, whereas Rav Avin answered B'Shem Rabbi Yechanan, Taman over there, which again is referring to over here, Derech Hatzah Benashim. That's a normal way for her to go out with it, and this is not a tachshit, it's just considered a masui, and that's why she's chayiv. Ram Hach, however, over here, Tfelin Yotzim Bekach, only novices, non-experts, go out advertising what their trade is. But an uman, an expert craftsman, is not going to go out with a needle pinned to his clothing, for example, and therefore, if he would go out with it on Shabbos, it's considered not the normal derech, and therefore, he's not chayiv. That's an answer in the seeming steer between Rav Meir's shitas, and we continue with the same question, just in Rabbanon, Machav Shitas and Rabbanon, it seems we have a steer in the Shitas Rabbanon, Titanin Taman over there we learned, and again, that's our Mishnah, Bacham Paitin Mekrechal Sumsech Shapayatin, the Lacham Pater, if she goes out with this deodorant or this perfume, that's Mashma, Habamachat Nekuva Chayiv, that if she goes out with this needle that has a hole in it, she's Chayiv. Vidahi Uman Buminasai Chayiv, is this considered an Uman going out with her Kli Omenus? Earlier on in Masechta, we had quoted Lacham saying that an Uman going out displaying what their Omenus is, if they're holding that tool, so they're Chayiv. And over here in the Mishnah, they're saying that a woman who goes out with a needle is Chayiv. But why is that considered an Uman Buminasa? How is she an Uman with this needle? It seems to be that she's just wearing it as a Tachshit. However, the Gemara answers, on Rav Avin, he explains, Tifter Beisha Gideles, we could say that she's a Gideles. She's a hairdresser, and therefore she needs this needle for parting hair or for making the hair in some way or another, and therefore it is considered Uman Buminasa, and that's why, according to Rabbanon, she is Chayiv in her Mishnah. Now, can you explain her Mishnah? Rav Acha says, B'shem Rav Abba, Bar Rav Nachman, Rav Nechemi Hizu, that's proper Girsa, our Mishnah is Rav Nechemia. How so? The Tanin Taman, we learned over there in the Mishnah, this is Meseches Kalim, and discusses which Kalim could become Tame, or which ones remain Tahar, because they're considered Pshute Kli 8. They're simple wooden Kalim that don't have a base kibul, they don't have any receptacle, and therefore it's not considered real Kli. So that Mishnah tells us, Tabas Shal Mateches, if the ring itself is made out of metal, Memeh Yom Alf on the top, V'chaisim Shalash Al Almoig, but the signet part of it is made out of coral, Tameya, it's still going to be Tuma, because the main part of the ring, according to the Tanakama, is the actual circle that goes on the finger, and that's metal, so it's considered a Kli. Whereas Tabas Shal Almoig, V'chaisim Shal Mateches, Tahira. If the ring itself is made out of coral, and just the chaisim, the signet part, is made out of metal, so the ring cannot be makabel toma, it's tahar, because the main part of the ring, as we just said, is the circular part that goes on the finger, and since that's made out of coral, that's considered pshute kliyates and can't be makabel toma. However, Tani was taught, Rav Nechemia machlif, Rav Nechemia switches this around, and we look at whatever the chaisim is. If the chaisim is metal, then it could be makabel toma, whereas if the chaisim is almaik, it can't be makabel toma. And Rav Nechemia also says, similarly, b'tabas ach chaisama, a ring goes after the chaisim, the signet part, and that determines what the ring is. And furthermore, basulam ach shlivav, a ladder goes after its rungs. If the rungs are made out of wood, even if the main posts are made out of metal, it cannot be makabel toma. But if the rungs are made out of metal, then it could be makabel toma. Also, bekoilav acher masmerav, that's proper girsa. A koilav, a display stand, goes after its nails that storekeepers display things like belts and other things on. They put it outside the store, and there's the main stand, and then there's the nails sticking out of it that hold the wares. And whatever those nails are made out of, that's what determines whether or not this thing is going to be makabel toma. And lastly, uba oil, that's proper girsa, with a yoke, acher samniaroi, after its pegs, whatever the pegs are made out of, that's what determines if it's going to be makabel toma. So we see that our Mishnah is Rav Nechemia, because again, according to him, the main part of the ring is the chaisim, the signet, and our Mishnah says that a tabas, shiyash alei chaisim, is what a woman would be chayiv for, and the chaisim is the main thing over here. And since for her, it's not a tachshit, because a woman doesn't go out with a tabas that has a chaisim, that's really a man thing, so she'd be chayiv achatos. And the Rabbanon would not answer this, because they hold that the ikar is the ring, the part that goes on her finger, and her das is on that part, making it a tachshit for her, which she would not be chayiv achatos for. However, Omar Vila, Vila says, Tifter, we could even explain divrei HaKol, that the Mishnah is according to everybody, it could be referring to where she took this ring out on Shabbos in order to stamp something with it. So even according to the Chamim, since her das is on the chaisam, it's just considered a masui and not a tachshit, and that's why she'd be chayv achatos. Now, Shmuel says, B'shem Zaira, let's say the ring was made for both purposes. It could have been used for a tachshit, and it could could also be used as a chaysam. So it's yelach neimba chayiv. If she took it out in order to stamp something with it, she'd be chayiv. Or is it yel l'shem tachshit? If she took it out just to wear it as a tachshit, as an adornment, pater af al chaysam, she'd be pater even for carrying out the chaysam part of it. She'af al chaysam tveil tachshit, because the chaysam, the signet part, is at the end of the day secondary to the tachshit. Therefore, she would not be chayiv for the chaysam part. We're gonna stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with halacha dalet. Continue to discuss what a person is or is not allowed to go with on Shabbos. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.